The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, let's just give God a wave. Amen. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it is the presence of the Lord. There is a sweet spirit. I was saying to my goddaughter, she was really loud and yeah. And I said, I need you to come down in your other voice. She tried. But sometimes we just need to whisper to him. Because there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And he wants to do something, say something. But it's sometimes in the stillness that you got to hear his voice. Amen. Sometimes we got to quiet ourselves so that we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, because he is speaking. And we just have to have an ear to hear what he wants to say. Dear God, we come before you today. We just want to say thank you. We really don't know why, but there are many who were here last week. Around the world have gone into the crossover on the other side. But for some reason, you've allowed us to be here. And for that, we say thank you. If we ever needed you. Oh, the psalmist said, we sure do need you now. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Oh, bless us now. Oh, bless us now. We come. Savior, 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 hear our humble cry. We need thee. And Lord, we ask that you would take full control so that the people might hear you and be set free. Comfort, encourage. And those who don't even know you may come running to the altar. What must I do to be saved? We thank you for your word. For in it is life, in it is power, and in your word is deliverance. And we say, let your word go forth with power. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's stand to our feet this morning as we read the word. The word from the Lord this morning is, are you using what God gave you? Matthew's the 25th chapter, and I'm going to pause for a moment from verse 14 through 19. I'm going to pick it back up, but I'm just going to pause. We're going to park there for a while and just see what the Lord has to say there first. Amen? And we're going to be reading from the Amplifier. God is good. I don't care how things look. I don't care what happens in the world, God is still good. Amen. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 14, reading from the Amplifier, and we're going to pause for a moment at verse 19, and it says, For it is just like a man who was about to take a journey, and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his possession. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and then he went on his journey. The one who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made a profit and gained 5 more. Likewise, the one who had 2 made a profit and gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of the servants returned to settle accounts with them. There is going to be a day that we must settle our accounts. So the question is, are you using what God has given you? You may be seated. Amen. Are you using it? I don't know if you know, but a lot has happened in 7 days. A lot has happened. Good to see my sister Kim out this morning. Her son is in the hospital. She's from Texas. And we're just grateful that she was able to leave her son at the hospital and come and hear the word today. So we just bless the Lord for her. And we're just believing God, he's going to take care of her son while she's being refreshed. Amen. Amen. So it's just a blessing to have her here. And we're just going to continue to pray for her and her son, Jay. Amen. It's sometimes when you got to press your way that God has something special for you, because sometimes things don't always line up the way you want, but you got to press to get in there, to get what you need so you can go out and do what the Lord has required you to do. Amen. So we're looking at this story. I'm excited about it because the question was really a good question that God asked. He said, are you using what God gave you? Amen. So the story, this is a parable. And you know, Jesus has a way of always speaking in parables, just as a way so that he can break it down so you can understand it. And so the parable is about an owner who had land and possession, and he was about to take a journey. And the owner decided that he was going to have an extended vacation. Just think about your boss. He's getting ready to leave, and he said, I'm not sure when I will return, but I am leaving. It's going to be an extended vacation. But before I leave, I need to divide up my possession. The owner decided, it's very clear, the owner decided that he was going to give one of his servant 5 talents, one of his servant 2 talents, and then one of his servant 1. Now, the message I love, because the message said the owner decided to give one of his servant, which was 5 talents, which was $5,000. Then the second tenant who had 2 talents, he was going to give him $2,000. And then the one who had 1 was going to give him $1,000. And so the owner said, I'm giving this based upon your abilities. And because it's his money, he gets to decide who gets what. Sometimes we want to tell the owner of the company what he should be doing with his money. But the owner sometimes has to remind us, I am the owner, and because I am the owner, I get to decide who stays and who goes. I get to decide that I'm going to give this person this promotion, this person that. I, as the owner of it, I get to decide as the owner. Amen. And so the owner was giving out all of these instructions, and he said, I'm going away. But I promise you, I'm coming back again. This is a natural owner. You know, Jesus is so wise in his parable. He said, I just want you to know I'm not going to leave you with nothing to do. Because if I have possession and I'm giving you my money, I'm giving you this expecting you to do something with it. Now, scripture doesn't bear that he gave them specific instruction of what to do with the money. But if you have worked for the owner, you should know what is required of you. Because once you get on a job, the first thing you do, they give you what? The job description. What is required of you? And so sometimes I think we have to go back and review our job description so we will know what is required of me if I'm working for this company. Because we're talking about a company now. Then we're going to talk about Jesus next. But Jesus was saying, I'm telling you the story of a man who says, Take good care of what I've given you. Take what? Take good care of what I've given you. And I'm entrusting you with something I value dear. And I need you to take good care of it. And everyone received it, the three. They took the money, they got it, they understood it. And after he had given this out, the scripture said in verse, let me go back a little bit. 15, after he had given them out, after he had given out the possession, after he had given out the talents, then he said, I got to go. And then we pick up on verse 16, the one he gave one, all of that, he dispersed how he's going to give it. But then 17 said, then he made a departure. How many of you know when once you get your instruction, you're expected to do something? Okay, you're expected to do something. And so he said, I gave one, five, and they traded it, and they got another five. I gave the other one two. They traded it and got it and did an increase. Then I gave another one, and he hit it. There are three individuals in the story. Two responded immediately. Immediately after they got the finances, they immediately began to make provision to increase the investment. But there was one who took it and hid it. And the question is, which one are you? Which one are you? Because after a long time, enough time so you can use and multiply what God has given you, the owner is going to return. And so, five, two, and one. This is what we're dealing with. Five, two, and what? And one. And verse 19 say, after a long time, he returned. And then in verse 20 said, and the one who had received the five came and bought five more. And then the second one came, and one he, the first one came. Let's back up. When the owner came, he said, I want all of you to give an account of what you have done with what I've given you. I want all of you to give an account of what you have done with what I've given you. And each of them, one at a time, had to appear before the owner. All right? Now, this is just a natural owner, just somebody who owns a business. This is all Jesus talking about, somebody who owns a business, right? And the first one would be the first one he gave it to, the one who gave five. In verse 20, he said, the one who had received the five talent came and brought in five more. And he said, Master, you entrusted me with five. See, I've made a profit and gained five more. The first one servant gave his report, and then this is what the master said. The owner said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He said, you did a good job with the little. Because you took the little and multiply it, I am now going to entrust to you five more. You, since you double more, I'm going to give you more. Because you invested in what I gave you. It's an investment exchange. Now, the second one said to his, verse 22, the second one came, said, Lord, you gave me two. I double the two. The master said again, well done, thy good and what? Faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter thou into my joy. This is a phrase that we normally hear at funerals. This is a phrase that you normally hear when someone is at the end of their journey. That they said, I just want to hear God say, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful. How faithful are you over that which God has given you? And of course, there was one remaining. Two got a good report. Two got a good report from God. But then there was the third one. In verse 24. Then the one who had received one talent came forth saying, Master, I know you to be a harsh and demanding man, reaping the harvest where you did not sow, gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid to lose the talent, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See you have and see you have what is yours, your own. But his master said, he said, Master, I know you're a hard taskmaster. I know you have high standards. Your expectation is high. And I didn't want to take a risk. So what I thought the best option for me to do is take my gift, take my talent, take the money that you've given me, and I went and hid it. So I'm bringing back to you that which you have given me. There is no increase. But he started off with an excuse. The other started off with, I have used and invest what you have. He started off with, you are a hard taskmaster, so I didn't take a risk. And then the master responded in verse 26. But his master answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap the harvest where I did not sow and gathered where I did not, and gathered where I did not scatter seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bankers, and at my return, I would have received my money back with interest. So he took the talent that the one had and gave it to the one that had five. So the master said, you wicked and lazy servant, because you took that which I had given you and you hid it. You didn't use it. You hid it because you were afraid. He said, that's not an excuse for you not to have. He said, the least you could have done is put it in the bank. Because if you put your money in the bank for overtime, you're at least going to get some type of interest back. He said, the minimum you could have done is put it in the bank, but you went and hid it. How many of us are hiding our gifts and our talents because we say, I know God's standard is really high. And I've come to tell you, it is no excuse when you have to stand before a just God and give an account. So what is it that God wants us to learn from these lessons? Lesson number one, we all were created to do good works. We were created, don't ever forget this, we were created to do good works. In Ephesians 2 and 10 says that, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ, born anew, that we may do good works, which God predestined, planned before, for taking us, which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, all of them at the beginning of the world, said, let us make man. They made us. We messed up. Jesus came. He created a new opportunity for us to reestablish our relationship with God. But we are God's handiwork. God made us for himself. And now he's saying, I have already prepared stuff for you to do. But you have to remember that all of us as believers have some good works to do. Keep in mind, the talent number 1, 2, and 3, neither of them compare themselves with the others. That's what we do. That's our hang up, comparison. They didn't compare. What each did is decide to make a decision, good or bad, and then report it back to the master. And God is saying, are you using what I've given you? I'm not asking you to be someone else. I'm not asking you to do something out of the norm. I'm asking you to use the gifts and talents that I've given you. Are you willing to do it? And you can't tell me you don't have one because I have created all of you for good works. I made you so that you can do some good works. And if there's a lack of good works in the land, then we must begin with the house of God because he said judgment will begin with us. Don't look for judgment to begin outside. He said, when I start, it's going to begin in the house. Why? Because I am going to ask my believers, my children, who I've created, who I've suffered and bled for, and given them an assignment, I'm going to ask the question, where is your good works that I have predestined for you to do? Where is it? What are you doing? Who are you reaching? Who are you helping? Because God truly is the owner of everything. Amen. And so if he's the owner, number two, different gifts, same spirit. So the problem is not with the giver, it is with the receiver. Have you received the gifts and talents that God has given you? All of us have something to offer. All of us. And you've got to decide, are you going to use it? Now, this one is on 1 Corinthians, and it's talking about spiritual gifts. Because I want to pause and talk. There are spiritual gifts, and then we have just talents. Natural gifts. All of them are given by God. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 6. Now, there are distinct variety of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in who? Believers. But it's the same Spirit who grants them and empowers believers. There are distinct variety of ministries and services, and it is the same Lord who served. And there are distinct ways of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who produce all things in all believers, inspiring, energizing, and empowering. God has given each of us a gift through the Holy Spirit. All of us have something. All of us have. You say, I don't have five. It's okay. If you just have one, use the one. Amen. Because that one can turn the world upside down if you would just invest it and work it and allow the Lord to show you how to develop the gift. But all of us have been given it. And there is not 1,000 gods. It's just one God. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. And he said, I have given each of you through the Holy Spirit a gift. Each of you have something that can benefit not only the body of Christ, but be of service to a dying world. Each of us have that gift. The question is, do you know what it is? Are you using it? Are you hiding it? Is it still under a bushel? Because a light that is under a bushel cannot give light. If you want to give light, you have to at least take the lamp and put it up on a stick, and then it can give light to all the people that are around. If you're in an office and nobody is saved but you, count it all joy, because you're supposed to be that light. You're supposed to be the one that can hold that light up so that in the midst of turmoil, they'll be able to see. Can you pray for me? I know I don't usually ask you stuff, but can you do this? Can you at least ask God to help me? We need to be able to offer a world that is so confused. We've had disaster after disaster, and the world is wondering, where is God? And God is saying, I need my believers, I need my children to stand up and tell them, I am where I have always been, sitting on the throne. And Jesus is right where he was, on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit is doing what he's always done. It's working through us, if we would allow him to work through us, to lead us, to guide us into the path that we need to go. He said, I'll show you who you need to minister to. But because it's not here, you may dismiss it. He said, but I've given you each an assignment, someone to be a blessing to. Someone to let them know that Jesus cares. Jesus cares. And he does more than care. He's a way maker. He's more than a way maker. He's a heart fixer. He's more than a heart fixer. He's a counselor. He's more than a counselor. He is the one that takes away your sin. He is the savior of the world. When is the last time that you've told someone that Jesus still saves? I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care how bad you've fallen. We need to offer them Jesus. As long as you're living, sister, there's hope. As long as you're living, brother, there's hope. I can take you to the cross. I can take you to the cross. I may not be able to take you to Fifth Third. I may not be able to take you to this. I may not be able to take you to that. But I can take you to the cross. At the cross. At the cross. Where I first saw the light. It was at the cross where my burdens and my sins were lifted, at the cross. Not at your opinion center, not at what you think, but it's at the cross. If someone is hurting, you've got to have a message. I know you can get it at the cross. It still works. The blood of Christ still works. That's the message that every believer should have ready to give an answer for the hope of your calling. I am persuaded that God is able. I am persuaded, not by what you think or what you feel. I am persuaded by the blood that it still works. And I have the proof when I see the trail of the blood flowing year after year after year in my own life. I cannot tell your story. I cannot tell how the blood did for you, but you can. And when given an opportunity, are you a good soldier in the cross? Are you a good soldier? Can you defend that which you believe? Do you know it well enough? Have you studied it enough? Do you know one scripture about salvation? Come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy burden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yokes upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. I can meet you where you are. That's what my Jesus said. you what I said. I'm telling you, Jesus said, I'll meet you where you are. And I have the power to take you where you need to go. If you recognize that I am the giver of the gifts, I'm the owner. If you're talking about that little owner who owned a little bit of, who owned $15,000 to $20,000, that's nickels and pennies. I am the owner of the universe. And I've given all of you some gifts. And if the truth be known, I've given you some talents. And every time I require you to use it, it's sometime something happens where you say, well, why I have to use it? Well, why do I have to sing? Well, why do I have to teach? And why do I have? Why not you? The gift is given to bless somebody else. Don't forget it. The gifts. The gifts. Some have the gift of writing. Some have the gift of organizing. Some have the gift of math and science. Some people have the gift of just being creative. You know, they're creative, they can put things together. You know, they can create all kinds of things because they have the mind to do it. Just stay in your lane. That's all. Just stay in your lane. You know, you got 275, you got 75, you got 74, and then we got Ronald Reagan Highway, and then we got all these little hot, Redding and Martin Luther King. We got all kinds of streets that can get you where you need to go. But the question is, are you in the right lane? Are you in the right lane? If you can't teach, it's okay. It's okay. You can give a word of encouragement. You may never stand up here, but you still can bring souls to the kingdom. And the last time I checked, Jesus is concerned about souls going in the kingdom. Do you know how many souls left last week at a concert? How many went into judgment and unprepared? How many of us as believers had an opportunity to witness and say, not today, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow. But he said, today when you hear my voice, today when I give you an assignment, I need you to begin to respond in the now. I need you to respond in the now because Jesus said, I gave you the gifts so that you can help somebody else and offer them Jesus. The perfect one. The only one. And finally, our lesson is your gifts active or missing in action? And when you're in the military, you got active duty, and I forgot how to pronounce it, but I know it's called missing in action. And you know, you can get in trouble for going AWOL. And there are a lot of AWOLs in the house of God. Missing in action. You've gotten the assignment. You know what you're supposed to do, but you have decided not to serve. All of us have to serve. Even Jesus had to serve. The King of Glory, he said, I came not to be served, but I came to do what? I came to serve. He said, I came to serve. I came not for those who were whole. I came for those who were sick. I am the great physician, is what Jesus said. So the question is, where is your gifts? Where are they? Because one day, Jesus, Papa, the Holy Spirit, gonna call your number, mine included. and we all are gonna have to give an account. What have you done with what I've given you? What have you done? So 1 Peter 4:10 said, just as each of you have received a special gift, a special talent and ability graciously given by God, employed in his servant in serving one another, as it is appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace, faithfully using the diversity, the variety of gifts and ability granted to Christian by God's unmerited favor. All of us have been given at least one gift. But much is given, much is required. Don't get upset because someone has five. Much is going to be required of you. And I don't care if you have one, you still have some requirements. But whatever you have, take it off of the inactive list. Take it off of the out, do not disturb, out of order sign on your gifts. Remove the sign off and put it back into active so that God can show us how to be a blessing to somebody else. How to use what we have and allow him to give the increase. Amen. Do you know that people walked in this church today hurting? Do you know people cried before they came to service today? Do you know that people are going through devastation and we are clueless? Clueless. We don't even pause to say, how are you? Is all well? You don't even wait long enough for them to say, no, all is not well today. Can I help? Girl, I ain't got time for all that. I was just really trying to be kind. I'll talk with you later. No, I have to pause. We're all guilty of it. We have to pause. Hit the pause button and stop and listen, so that the Spirit can give you what you need to say to the person that's standing in front of you who's in need. You are someone's answer. You want God to give you an answer, and God said, I want you to be an answer. Can you be an answer to someone else's prayer? And while you are helping somebody else, I promise you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel will bless you in what you're going through. I promise you that. Look at it in the book. If you don't believe me, check out the book. While you are helping somebody else, God is going to take care of you. He always takes care of his own, but he wants to know, are you going to be available to offer hope to somebody else? And we have a great responsibility today to help somebody else. We have it. This is not a shouting one. This is not a jump up one. This is a take inventory sermon. He said, tell them it's time to take inventory. You know how you're doing your job, you take inventory. What do we have? You go in your refrigerator, what do we have? What do we don't have? What do we have to buy? What do we need to get rid of? He says, time to take inventory. What is it that you don't need? What is it that you need? And what is it that you need to put into action now? And he said, if you don't know, I'll show you. If you're willing to follow the instruction that has been laid out. Are you willing to be a blessing to somebody else? Are you willing to be like the first servant, the second servant who invested? We invest in everything but the kingdom of God. He said, I need you to invest. Invest in your gifts. Invest. If you're a teacher, learn how to study. Invest in it. Get in there and study. If you got to go to school, if you got to, whatever you have to do, invest in it. When is the last time you invested in your gift? You got to invest in it to get a return. I need to invest in what God has given me. Amen. And if you allow God to show you where you are, and if you will be honest with yourself, not looking at anybody else, just looking at you, God, is there somebody right in my circle that I can be a blessing to? Forgive me for ignoring the call. Forgive me for being too busy to stop. Forgive me for being unwilling to pause. But today, we're not only pausing, we're stopping and asking God to show us how to be a blessing to somebody else today and share the message of hope. Jesus still saves. Jesus still heals. Jesus still delivers. And prayers are still being answered. Miracles are still happening. Healing is still occurring. Because Jesus is still our Savior, our Lord, and our King. And because of that, we owe him. We owe him the best service that we can render. We owe it to Jesus. Amen. Are you using what God has given you? And woe unto you when the master returns. And he is coming back. And there's going to be two things. He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Or depart from me, you wicked, you workers of iniquity. It's either welcoming or departing. There's no middle ground. And I declare when we come to the end of our journey, all of us want to, there's a lot of things you hear in life. There's a lot of accolades that people give you. But I'm telling you, there's only one that I want to hear like Paul said. I want to be able to say, I want to hear him say, well done. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I fought a good fight. Can we really say that? I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. And I know it's laid up for me. A crown. A crown. Well done. Well done. You've been faithful over that little thing. And I see it. Now I want to expand your territory. We want an expansion, but we are not faithful. God, show me how to be faithful over the little that you're giving me. Little is much when God is in it. But he can take that little and increase it if you are willing to be faithful. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Ah, come on. Come on. I'm going to increase it Come on. I want to give you some more territory for the kingdom. So when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. Ah, we will sing and shout the victory when we all get to heaven. But the truth is, everybody's not going. And God is saying, but we can go and lead somebody else. Amen. I'm talking to the one who doesn't know Jesus. The one who said, I messed up and I couldn't possibly get it right. If you knew my story, you would never even offer me the blood. And I've come to tell you, that's the only thing I can offer you is the blood. Always room to come home. Always room to get it right. Because Jesus loves all of us. What are you doing with your gift? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.